Ross and Carrie, the show where we don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. We take part ourselves.
Yep. When they make the claims, we show up so you don't have to. I'm Ross Blotcher.
And I'm Carrie Poppy, and we are back at Contact in the Desert.
Yay, there are UFOs floating above our heads.
Yes.
But first, we have to report on Max Fun Drive.
Yes.
Because you all supported us so well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
To everybody who continues to support us, to everybody who boosted, joined, or upgraded during the Max Fun Drive, because we got to all of our goals. If you were excited any of them, we are on the hook for every single one. So we got to 2,124 new and upgrading and boosting members.
Oh, what a friendly number, too. 2,124.
It's a great number. As a number memorizer, I like that one.
Yeah, 2 × 1 + 2 = 4. Right?
Sure, yeah.
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 That's, love it.
Yeah, a lot of ways you could drop symbols in there and it would make sense. And it's just 100 ahead of the year that we're in.
Look, it's perfect.
Anyways, thank you.
I'm so glad one more person did not join, because this would really screw the whole thing up for me.
Hey, you can still join if you're like, oh no, I missed the Max Fun Drive. Don't worry.
You can
still go to MaximumFun.org/join and
just
you'll still
bring
get
a friend so we stay at an even number.
Yeah, come in twos like like you would on the ARC. And even if you sign up now, you'll still get the bonus content, which includes our talk with John Hodgman.
Yes.
Our communion, boncon.
Exactly. Whew. I couldn't have said it better myself.
That also means we'll be traveling to Texas to check out the Whitley Strieber archives. We'll also be pitching a talk to
Conscious Life Expo.
Yeah, I'm excited and nervous about this.
We've shown up there every year to attend talks. Will we be able to give one?
Will they give us a mic?
And finally, everyone's waiting for it. Another episode of Flavor Babies.
That's right.
When will it drop? When will they hear it? It's hard to say.
Also, to everybody who's been eagerly waiting, thank you for your patience. We have a new Creation Museum episode hitting this week. I'm dropping it off with the Max Fun folks, so go check the bonus content feeds.
Nice.
We'll keep it going. But yeah, let's talk about Contact in the Desert. So you've got a fun talk to report on today, and we've got our special guest who is with us for the whole thing.
We have a roving reporter from my own hometown, which is my home, Drew Spears.
Oh, hey, guys.
Welcome, Drew.
Hey, babe. So Drew is my husband, and he came with us to Contact in the Desert mostly for fun. But then he saw this talk and he said, I have to learn more.
Yeah, I originally went because I was like, I do like the desert. I like immoderate climates. I spend a lot of the time going with y'all to talks. Some talks I would leave because I found some of them not very interesting.
You're a normal person.
There's only like so many hours of a panel of people who talk about how they're so close to getting disclosure to happen. Just, we can't trust the government, but also write to your congressman and get disclosure. It's just baffling to me.
Yeah, there actually aren't just so many hours to do that. There are endless hours to do that.
But, you know, had a great time on the trip. Loved hanging out with you all. Loved the desert. Loved getting to walk around. It's an interesting place. I think by the last day, I just went to the hotel, like, spa, which no one was in, which was great. But yeah, the one thing that I wanted to make a point of going to, and I'm going to just grab that from Ross so I can make sure I get the title right. Putting Your Best Face Forward, Video Production Tips and Tricks from a Leading Film Industry Professional.
He said face, not foot. Putting your best
face. Yes, that's right.
You okay?
Face forward. And this is by Mr. M.
Because he wanted some anonymity.
Yes. And that, I think, was, you know, the carrot on the stick for me is like, oh, is this going to be,
can I figure out who this guy is?
Who is this guy? Is he going to be someone in the industry that I recognize? Is it going to be, like, I don't know, just like, that's, a pseudonymous person is giving a talk? That's about as interesting as something gets. Okay, here we go. Mr. M. He's a renowned visual effects supervisor, colorist, and post-production producer based in Los Angeles. Over the course of 20-plus years in post-production, he founded and grew two post-production companies and supervised the workflow dailies, VFX, color, and delivery of over 200 feature films and episodics. So,
yeah,
definitely, like, I mean, per this,
professional.
Seems to have, like, a real a real career, and this, he does a lot of the, like, behind the scenes, like, deliverable stuff that, you know, kind of makes the industry move faster in post. So I was like, that seems believable. I think if you're going to lie about it, you would pick, like, I'm actually a secret script doctor for this organization.
You could definitely be more grandiose about those claims.
Yeah, this is just, like, very much, like, I know, like, dozens and dozens of people who have this sort of a job in post. It's not super glam. I mean, it's fun, but it's not super glamorous or something that, like, you know, you would swing your ego around in Los Angeles.
And Drew works in film production.
Yeah.
So I was like, imagine what you can learn from Mr. M, babe, whoever he might be.
And this wasn't a talk he gave just once. It was kind of sprinkled occasionally throughout the schedule. So I was really glad you were going because I was curious about this
thing. I went to the lecture A, but I want to say that lecture B was canceled because he made a comment. I mean, and I'll get into who he is, but he made a comment that he was like pretty much just like leaving afterwards, like right after.
Oh.
So, but yeah.
Only till the wind changes.
A part of me was like, oh, I might pick up some business, some connections. Like, you know, if a bunch of people need to rent a studio for their Disclosure documentary or their live stream.
Oh, you might personally pick up some business and be like, hey, you want to record in my studio?
I don't think I would be morally compromised by letting a UFO person film something at my studio. It feels rather, on the whole, pretty benign and, you know, safe.
And it sounds like the workshop, is it a workshop or just sort of a lecture?
Well, okay, so I get there. It's one of the smaller halls. Just sitting by myself thinking about the nature of lecture halls and like hotel convention spaces, because we're at this huge hotel that's like made for this.
So just conventional thoughts.
Yeah, just very conventional thoughts. And there's like probably a room of 60 and there's probably like 20 of us. This is still pretty early and, you know, it's a pretty niche thing.
Yep.
I'm just like watching this guy set up some C-stands and set up some lights and like set up his computer and set up a camera, and it just, everything feels very identifiable.
Yeah.
And like, it's my first thing. And
I've got one of those. Ooh, I should upgrade to that. Oh, he could use the one
like
I
have. First, this was the prevalent theme where I was like, well, I really got out of town to just go to something where I essentially get to hear someone talk about what I do at work all the time.
Now, my impression of this was that he's showing people how to make higher quality YouTube videos of themselves.
That is exactly what this is.
Okay.
This is, and it's very interesting because he introduces himself and he explains why he's pseudo-anonymous. And he's kind of underplaying it while also, like, I mean, he won't say the thing, which is, I think, just like people in the industry would find it weird if I led with this as like a hobby. But he was like, you know, I'm kind of agnostic on the whole alien thing. I don't know. Like, but it's like, I do have a lot of friends in it, and I do happen to work on a Gaia TV show. Like, and which I wish, I want to say it was, I'm not positive about this, so do not take me at my word, because he showed some clips from some stuff he worked on. And I want to say it was Disclosure with Dr. Stephen Greer. I could be wrong about that. I might have that wrong, because he showed like the set and like kind of how he lit it, and it was an impressive set. But like the overall thesis that he was like, and why he was like, I did this as a favor for my friend, this lecture, is like all of you,
okay,
which is, just feels like a very abdicating of responsibility and not willing to say what he thinks.
You're answering all of my questions here, because, well, A, we talk about Stephen Greer a lot on the show, but also that's cool kind of that he admitted just his own ambivalence on the topic. But I was also curious, okay, who roped him into this? And sounds like it was a favor for a friend.
Maybe. I think he was trying to have it both ways. I kind of doubt his ambivalence. I think he is a believer.
Okay.
By the end of it, that's what I got. And he also like showed us his credits, and it was a lot of, I was trying to triangulate who it was.
Yeah,
it was,
I feel like you narrowed it down, but we'll keep his anonymity, right?
I never got to the point where I was like, it's definitely this person, even though I'm like staring at someone. But when he mentioned a few credits, you know.
Describe the man. What does he look like? Who mugged you?
Generic white.
A tall white?
In my head, I might just be stereotyping what I think of it as like white dudes who work in post, but I'm like, he is white and tall. But I could be wrong about both details.
Okay.
I don't think I am, though.
Post folks often don't see a lot of sun.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. As someone who works in a windowless building and sometimes like, I'm like, oh, I didn't see the sun today.
I'm thinking of all my post friends and I'm trying to think of like who might come after me for this, but no, I think they'd all agree.
Just true. It's just true. But yeah, he like showed his credits, and it's a lot of like, oh, doing VFX and dailies and deliverables on kind of large-scale streaming blockbuster-y type things. I don't, like, have a great example of a definite credit, but it's, like, something like that Chris Evans movie on Amazon.
Okay.
Like, that's the sort of scale of something where it's, like, that is both a big movie and also something that no one will remember in 2 years.
But if he's showing you lighting setups, it sounds like he's also been involved in production as
absolutely.
As moving big files around and later and editing.
That's what he more or less was saying was, like, everyone's videos look bad in this community and it makes you look bad. It's why people think you look crazy. Is like, yes. I mean, he never said like, it doesn't matter what you're saying. He was just like, because like if you have something poorly lit and you're doing it with your camera phone and like you're just in like against a white wall, you will look less credible, which, you know, is something I think I have.
He's onto something.
I think it's just empirically true.
Yeah. So on one hand, cool. Yeah. Giving good, useful tips for this community, but also I'm not sure I want them to appear more convincing. So
I mean, it's,
I don't know how to feel about
so this. Like, you know, he had some lights up and he was showing people how to do basic like 3-point lighting or use negative fill to create a more moody ambiance and
get an angle slightly above the eye line.
Yeah. And just like, it was like more or less just like, go get the Blackmagic pocket camera, which, you know, I have one. He's like, you can download DaVinci Resolve, which I use. It's
free,
weird how much his workflow just like kind of mimicked what I use. But then like towards the end, after he did the 3-point lighting thing and showed like how to like actually correct color and do a little bit of in camera, not letting things look blown out, just like nice and even, and showing like something that anyone can, like, you may not have production values, but like if you have 3 lights and a camera, you can at least position something in a way where it looks a little bit better.
And was he talking about costs? Like, okay.
Yeah, he was like, you know, these are all things that like are, you know, on the prosumer end, but, you know, even if you don't want to get those things, these basic tenets can apply to like, you know, anything.
But how would you like set up 3 lights if you're trying to capture a UFO in the sky? Like, what kind of practical application are we talking about?
Well, it's not for like the getting of the UFO. This would be like if you're doing like a documentary type of confessional.
Oh, okay. So his complaint is like, y'all have UFO documentaries with sloppy talking heads.
Yeah.
That or
and
like
your
you
YouTube
know,
videos or
yeah, or your Zoom calls. Like,
oh my God, that's not the problem. I thought he was gonna be like, you know, the grainy footage in the UFO photos is bad.
Well, that's,
and like,
we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay,
that's a good point.
Because that,
put it on
yeah,
a,
fair enough.
Put it on
but,
a tripod.
Right, but then I'm like, oh, you don't see the problem then. The problem is that the UFO is like probably better identified as something else.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of that towards the end. But yeah, no, it's mostly just like, oh, if you want to look like a reasonable person while talking about this, you should consider how you present yourself on camera.
Oh my God, I can't believe this is so off base. This is not the problem.
But
okay, we're going to also get to improving your UFO videos.
Carrie went from just mildly approving and interested to just outrage. Oh my, what is this? What are we even doing?
Understand.
Well, no, we don't. We're not going to get to improving your UFO videos. What he by the end, and remember at the beginning of this, I was like, he insists that he is agnostic and was doing this as a favor for a friend, even though he works on a UFO TV show and is here. And so he's showing everyone the workflow of Blackmagic DaVinci Resolve, which is an editing, I mean, it's a lot of people primarily use it for color correction. It's very, but it's also, I use it for editing as well as color correction.
And
it's,
the free version is very functional.
Very
and
functional.
Like $300.
One of
the
last things also, if
one?
You want the full thing where, this is an ad for Blackmagic Design.
Why not?
I just got their G2 Micro cameras. They're great. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, they don't have subscription models or anything like that. Please give me things for free, Blackmagic Design. I've given you just an insane amount of money. But so he's just like, and he's showing like, oh, this is how you drop footage in here, and you can just easily like, this is how to like do a L edit or like a J, you know, just like essentially so that it's just like, you know, you can always,
Carrie is now covering her eyes,
you can always have B-roll and start an interview and then come in to the shot of the interview mid sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like kind of like these very film school 101 you know, type things, but like I don't think most of the audiences
have multiple angles so you can edit yourself later and cut
stuff like that
between,
like, you know,
your pauses.
So he's showing everyone DaVinci and he's just like, I want to show you 2 cool things. And he grabbed 2 UFO videos. One was, or like,
Carrie's interested
again. Unidentified object. One was like from a plane that something like flew in and just like kind of grazes the plane and then flies off.
Oh,
I feel like it was something like where it's just like some sort of unidentifiable thing. And he's just like, you know, now I work in special effects. I know when things are fake. Like, I could very easily figure out whether or not there's any obvious artifacting of, you know, CGI work or, you know, which is
sort of
true.
Right.
He's like, check this out in the Da Vinci Resolve.
That attitude could get you into trouble if you just don't happen to be able to explain one thing.
He's like, it's a bird. But he's like, this video, he's just like, and once again, I'm agnostic about this, but he's just like, and there's a identifiable object, he like takes a still of it and then he like just fucks with like the gamma and the like contrast and the saturation, and he's just like putting it at like complete saturation, and he'd just be like, if this was CGI or Photoshop, you'd see artifacting in this like spectrometer. And he's like, there's no such artifacting, which is one of those things that like sounds smart but is in fact complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and also a competent visual effects person will be working with filters turned on and they'll be getting rid of those rough edges and stuff. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, well, it doesn't show that it's a UFO. It just, I mean, even if it's not manipulated video, it just shows us that that's not manipulated video, but there's nothing in the video where you're like, well, that's clearly a UFO or some sort of object.
Yeah, it's the old God of the gaps argument. I explained away one explanation and the only thing left is God, or in this case, aliens. Yeah,
and here I thought he was going to be making the point about when you do go in and try to blow these things out and adjust the exposure, the gamma, the saturation, that you're going to be introducing elements yourself, that you're taking something that is low information and trying to read into it the visual equivalent of the EVP. The electronic voice phenomenon.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like he gave them a new excuse to explain why you can't just say something is manipulated.
Yeah.
And instead of being like, well, it doesn't confirm anything.
Well, and that also reminds me of like the Cottingley Ferry photographs back in the early 1900s that Arthur Conan Doyle fell for. You know, they had photographic experts come in at the time and say, these are not manipulated photographs. It's like, yeah. They're real photographs of girls with cutouts of fairies. Mm-hmm. So you could say something is not faked, and that might be true.
Have you all talked about the casino photo yet?
No.
Okay. I don't think that's worth
it. Near- the casino alien photo?
Yes.
It came up in a different talk.
It's like that, where it's just like, yes, there's no visible artifacts when you're showing me a printout of a printout of something that God knows where it's like, I can't hold up a piece of paper and that's like, you know, printed out on an inkjet printer and prove or disprove anything about how the original image was constructed.
Wait, which alien casino photo are we talking about?
This was one of like someone at a booth who was like just showing like photos that proves existence of aliens. And it one was like a guy who like had like a kind of a big forehead that it could have been someone who had on makeup or someone who had.
Yeah. So when Drew and I were coming out of a different talk, we walked up to a table and someone had a binder of photos and printouts, like from an inkjet printer, of different supposed alien sightings.
Okay.
And then, if I recall correctly, wouldn't let anyone take pictures of the binder. But one of them was a very grainy photo from far away of, you know, a sort of stereotypical alien-like head on a small person sitting at like a craps table, I believe. But it was so grainy and so far away. And the person was asking us, like, what else could it be? And we were both like, I don't know, it could be a person with like a genetic condition. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is from so far. It could be a person in a costume. You brought me the photo.
How long do we want our imaginations to play here?
Well, and also because it's like on a piece of paper, it was presented as though it was security footage, but it had just had that very generic like, oh, someone's going to put a security footage frame or sheen over a picture, so it just kind of looks that way. There's nothing that really suggested that it's, you know how like nowadays people want to use the VHS aesthetic in like music videos and things like that, and they just have a lot of very obvious artifacting that like kind of only exists in like the 2024 version of VHS as seen through.
Sure.
That's what I kind of felt like this was.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like overall Mr. M was giving good advice for just basic media production.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. He did a favor and he did it well. But he himself, it doesn't sound like for all his expertise, is convinced of alien visitation on this planet.
And by the way, UFO people, if you're worried about increasing people's confidence in you. The problem is not the lighting on the talking heads. Look elsewhere.
But just real quickly to argue the other side. If you do feel like you want to improve your production needs and go to a place where this could be all-inclusive, there is a studio in Frogtown, Los Angeles that, you know, if you pay money and aren't just a real bad person, I won't question what you're filming in there.
Drew Spears Productions. Drew Spears, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, babe.
At least invite us if you do get any UFO clients. We'd be interested in partaking if they're cool with it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, babe. I'm gonna get out of
y'all's hair. The lovely and talented Drew Spears.
Yes. It's almost our anniversary.
Okay, which one are we coming up on? Wait, let me think. 4?
You can't tell how my mouth is shaped when I was about to answer you.
Okay, you're forming a... Carrie's got her lips in a position of some letter. 2?
That's right, 2!
Hey, 2 years! Hey, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. April 16th. And we are going to go stay at the Howard Johnson in Anaheim because they have the Retro Future suite there that's based on the Monsanto House of Tomorrow from Disneyland.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, because that's where we spent our first night together or something.
Oh, no.
Like that.
Howard Johnson.
Well, my dad and stepmom go to Taco Bell once a year because that was their first meal together.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So that is their like anniversary habit.
That's cute. Our first date was a Dodger game. And so we used to go to the Dodger game every year. Yeah. And then finally I was like, you know, I don't really like it here. So maybe I should speak up. Maybe I should say
we don't need to go through
not...
the formality of this difficult parking lot, even though you live pretty close to Dodger Stadium now.
Yeah, but it's so hard to get into. And then there's just a big crowd and everything's loud and you're pushed and you're pulled. And then you got to go to the bathroom. You got to find it. You got to go back.
And find the veggie these... Dodgers dog.
Yes. And then everybody's like, they have the ball and then they... lose it again.
We've gone off topic, but I was a baseball fan growing up. And when my son was young, I wanted to give him at least the fighting chance to be a sports fan if he wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So I would make sure we went to at least one ball game a year. And then we'd, you know, hit a few others. We'd do a basketball game. We'd do a hockey game. But haven't in a long time. Makes me want to go back. Anyways, we're talking about aliens. So this was... I would say useful information for anybody who plans to produce media. So that's cool that Drew got to attend that.
Now, perhaps the wrong focus, but yes.
But when you lay out all of the talks in order of general usefulness, I would say that probably rose to the top. But you're going to tell us about another talk, and let's see where this lands in usefulness.
This one is by the extremely beautiful... Caroline Corey. Do you remember her name?
I do, because our friend Jimmy Church has a little bit of a crush.
I think so.
He wasn't even being subtle about it.
Yeah, not really.
It's not like we're spoiling a deep personal secret of his.
No, he spoiled a deep personal secret of his.
He was openly hitting on her.
Yes, but, at another event. Yeah.
Okay, but she's a figure in this world, and she's a film producer?
Let's see what her bio says.
On Instagram, it says, award-winning filmmaker at @CarolineCorey_films.
Okay, yes. Her bio says, Caroline is a filmmaker, futurist, and the visionary author of best-selling books on consciousness and energy medicine. After teaching energy medicine and consciousness work for over a decade, she founded Omnium Media. Caroline lectures and coaches internationally on various mind-over-matter subjects. Her film E.T. Contact won 9 film awards and 2 nominations at festivals around the globe.
Okay.
Her latest film is Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. She appears regularly as a guest expert on supernatural phenomena at major conferences and television shows, including History Channel's popular series...
Ancient Aliens?
Ancient Aliens. Of course.
Oh, it's such a tight-knit group.
Oh, man. And she was in a lot of stuff. Let's see. Workshop, luncheon, lecture, panel, awards banquet, panel, event, intensive.
And you mentioned Omnium. She's the founder of the Omnium Method of Meditation and Consciousness Study. So I guess it's Omnium Method because they capitalize the O-M. Omnium.
Ah, right. Okay. But this talk was going to be telepathy, downloads, and non-human communication.
I'm here for it.
And it was in the Endeavor room. And I endeavored to get there, and it was so full.
Okay, that's the same place where Danny Sheehan was giving his lawyerly talk.
Oh, okay.
That was overly full.
Okay, there you go.
And I think they even expanded the room after he was there. So this is now a larger room, and it's still full.
Still really full. Okay. She's a popular speaker. So at this time, I had not heard of her before. But that talk title intrigued me, so I showed up by myself, and I was glad I did, because pretty near the top, she said that her mission is to bring science to the paranormal.
Hey, okay, I'm down with the mission statement.
That's our mission.
Yeah.
I was like,
Let's.
This is great.
Let's get together. Yeah.
I was like, nothing's going to go wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's it for our show. I don't want to ruin this. Everything sounds so good.
Let's see what happens next.
Okay.
So she said, a lot of you have probably been to my talks before, but you will always get more information at each of my talks because, you know, it's not just about the talk itself. It's about energy. We will be exchanging energy.
Okay, so there's the content of my talk, and maybe you've heard me utter every single word of it before, but there's going to be an exchange of energy. There's
a little something extra.
Yeah, okay. There's some metaphysical quality just being in my presence.
Yes. It's like if Paul Thomas Anderson was like, Carrie, you've seen Magnolia 35 times. But if you watch it again, I think you'll notice a little something extra.
Could be.
So she's going to be talking about information transfer generally. And that might be telepathy, that might be downloads, that might be hearing voices, any kind of way that you get information in a non-obvious way.
Okay, not the senses that we all are aware of and agree upon.
Right.
Okay.
So information actually breaks down into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels, Ross.
Okay.
There's the universal level, then the galaxy level, then the planetary level, then humanity, and then the self. And all information is nested like Russian nesting dolls. Ross is furrowing his brow like he's... Gary, is this a metaphor or not a metaphor?
I'm trying to follow this. Okay, so we have... Was it 4 or 5 levels?
Yeah, level, I guess. I don't think that a noun was given here. Just information breaks down from the universe to the galaxy to planetary to humanity to the self. And it's like Russian dolls.
They fit within one another. All right. It paints a picture of, it sounds to me a little bit like the flat earth shells of a firmament or something.
Yeah.
But okay.
But we're talking about information. So I think she's saying information can get from us all the way to the ETs. But first it has to go through this sort of repetition breakdown or language barrier process that breaks it down 5 times and distorts it.
Interesting. Okay.
That's how I interpret it.
Yeah. All right. So now I'm like hoping maybe she'll talk about repeaters or way to boost the signal as it moves from medium to medium.
Mm. Are you hoping for that?
I'm gearing myself for that. I don't know.
No. I mean, I just don't get your hopes up. Things don't get clearer.
That seems to gel with a quote of hers I just saw on her website. If we want to create heaven on earth, then the starting point must be heaven, source, not earth. That quote would have been so better if she had just left out the word source.
Oh, so that's not true? Why would you start on heaven if you want to build something on earth? Even if you want to build heaven on earth. So if I want to build Florida and California, I don't start in Florida. You start in California and try to make something that's like Florida and California. So you'd start on earth to build heaven.
I mean, it feels like just classic deepity structure. I turned the expected on its head.
But guess what? Didn't work.
Also, looking at her website, I see a series of pictures of her where she kind of looks like an age-progressed Taylor Swift. Like I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. Similar facial structure. Yep.
I can imagine Taylor Swift looking like that in 30 years.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, so she's going to define a couple of terms for us, and maybe you've heard them before, maybe you haven't. So the first is telepathy. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, from far, like television, communication from afar.
Her definition is transfer of information and energy from one person to another.
Okay.
And that was the first definition she gave. She will define telepathy lots of different ways throughout this talk, but that's the first definition.
Yeah, that seems functional.
Then she also defined the superconscious, which is when you feel like people walk into a room and the energy shifts, or you can feel the history of an object or a room, or say you go to IKEA and even though two sofas are identical, one draws you but the other doesn't.
Okay.
These are all messages from the superconscious, which is shared between conscious beings.
Can it just be that we have complicated brains? But okay, okay.
This reminded me of the holothocene in the International Academy of Consciousness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it has an element of psychometry where you have ideas or memories that are tied to objects. Oh, let me touch the keys that belong to your deceased husband.
Right. So then she told us all that we are all sensitive because we
Carrie's waiting for me to finish the sentence.
It's just a claim that a lot of people make to us.
We are all psychics.
Because, well, why am I psychic in particular?
We are all intuitive.
I'm here.
Oh, in the room.
In the room.
Basking in the glory of the energy. Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
You wouldn't show up to a conference like this unless you were special, Ross.
I was probably two rooms over, totally out of range.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you weren't sensitive enough to sense that you were sensitive. But we in the room, we knew. And she said, if you're here, if you're even in this room, you are sensitive enough to do the work she's going to be telling us about.
Oh, I love it when they say something like that, because yes, you and I are in the room and like, we qualified.
Okay. I'm holding you to it.
She could have said, all of you are sensitive. Wait, who are you? Yeah. You're not sensitive. I can see a mile away. I mean, that would be impressive to me.
Yes, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're one of them.
Then she defined the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you've heard of that one.
Sure, yeah.
How would you define the subconscious?
Mental processes that don't rise to a level that we would call consciousness, where we are observing those thoughts.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's a good definition. She said it's a frequency that's emitted from your belief structure. So I can kind of take this as a metaphor. So if you have pre-existing beliefs, they're sitting there in the soup of your mind. That's your subconscious.
Okay. I'm liking that less.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. But she said what you want is to get to a state of sending and receiving information all of the time so that you can look directly at all levels of reality. So all the way up to the extraterrestrial universal reality, all the way through those Russian nesting dolls.
I feel Claude Shannon would have some thoughts on her information theory ideas.
Claude Shannon?
Yeah, he's the guy who kind of created the field of information theory and how we quantify information.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He sounds cool. She also said that the energy of her father is still with her because he transferred his energy to her before he died. And so that was one of her examples. And she was like, we've all felt this, of course.
So she got a little bit of a energy boost from her father. He left a piece of himself with her.
And she will kind of like hear his voice or think of what advice he'd give her in certain situations. And she feels like that is his leftover energy.
Sounds very like Obi-Wan like in Star Wars, where you've got the blue floating presence around you of whoever left.
Yeah.
Or like Grandma Tala in Moana. She still sticks around like a manta ray
or,
and occasionally shows up and she also glows blue.
Or like Truly Madly Deeply, that movie from the 90s.
Truly Madly Deeply. Wasn't that the name of the song from Savage Garden?
I wanna stand with you on a mountain.
That was my song with my former girlfriend.
No way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nikki. What up? Colin.
Oh, good memory.
Thank you. All right. So telepathy, she defines it again. At 37 minutes in, she got to give us a new definition.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Telepathy okay. All right. is simply...
Hold on, I've got to find my seatbelt. Okay. All right, I'm buckled in.
So, before you'll remember that telepathy was the transfer of information from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is defined as the transfer of information from one system to another.
Okay, so we've just redefined ourselves as systems.
Yep, but now that also could mean you have telepathy with a machine, a computer, a non-human entity.
Yeah, right? and hers was an open definition of telepathy. Like when I quickly look it up, I see the supposed communication of thoughts or ideas by means other than the known senses. But she's already just said any sort of transfer of information from one person to another. Now it's any system to another.
She, in her first definition, she did say say that the usual senses weren't involved.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
She almost always mentions that the visual system isn't involved, which I'm always thinking, well, that doesn't count. Like, I'm not doing telepathy with our listeners right now, even though they can't see me.
Okay.
So yeah. That's not telepathy.
Right. And, you know, even though they're not standing in front of you at the moment, we can explain with known physics all of the intermediary steps that got your voice into their heads.
Exactly.
But okay, if she said that, then I withdraw my objection, Your Honor.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay, then she said that you don't want someone else's energy stuck to you.
Sure.
Maybe your dad's, but no one bad, I guess. I don't know. She was like, you don't want people's energy stuck to you. And I was like, you just said your dad's energy stuck to you. But okay.
Fair. Yeah.
All right. But, you know, it was 3 minutes later, so she forgot. She said, we've all been telepathic since birth.
Okay.
And she needs to show us all of this because we need to be in charge of the human mind. You cannot create a life if you're not clear,
oh.
You see. She said.
L. Ron Hubbard agrees.
She said clear a few times after that, and I started to wonder if there was any Hubbardian influence.
Maybe a term of art in the Omnium method of meditation. Interesting.
She is going to mention it again, and we'll see how it comes up again.
I'm still hung up on what you said about us all being telepathic from birth, because I'm just thinking that would blunt our need to learn language. If we're already able to like kind of communicate on a thought level.
Yeah, why develop
that
at all?
Which tells me either it is very weak an effect, or...
Yeah, why do we spend like ages 2 to 10 teaching kids like phonics?
Right.
If it's that unnecessary.
And, you know, I remember videos of myself as a little kid. I remember being a little kid and being confused about words and language and everything like that. It seems like she's making this implication that we have fully formed ideas at birth. I feel like that comes with what she's saying. But okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
Oh, and she also said that she has worked in consciousness for 20 years. I just love that line. I've worked in consciousness for 20 years. I was like, yeah, me too, babe.
Minus the 8 hours a night where I'm conscious.
I have also been awake and working for at least 20 years.
Yeah.
100% agree.
I feel like when I tell people about the Conscious Life Expo, different conference, but you've all heard us talk about it. One of the most common responses is for them to say, I want to go to the Unconscious Life Expo.
That's fun. I do often think about how the Conscious Life Expo probably has a higher proportion of unconscious people in it than a normal conference because they make you meditate and people fall asleep.
Oh,
it's probably an abnormally unconscious expo.
But the name of the expo makes you wonder about the Unconscious Death Expo and, you know,
various
permutations of these words.
Unconscious Death Tiny Room?
Yeah, very, very tiny room.
I guess a tomb is the opposite of the Conscious Life Expo. Okay, so you're probably thinking, but Carrie. Don't we know that Caroline Corey is an alien? When are you going to drop other shoe?
That's
here?
True. We are burying the lead.
I know I did, but first I have to tell you about websites.
Lay some websites on me, Carrie.
I have missed talking about websites. I don't know why, but just in the last couple of weeks, I really didn't feel like bringing it up.
I feel you. And if you have information to share with the world on whatever nested shell that information lives, maybe you don't have the ability to directly insert it into the minds of others. Mm-hmm. And so you might need a platform in which to promote your awesome project that you're working on, the book that you just created, the film project you're assembling, your services that you offer as a consultant, whatever it may be. You probably need a website.
And you can get one at Squarespace, the website that makes websites.
And it's an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and you can sell anything. It could be a product that you've made, or it could be content or your time. The possibilities are endless as are the websites.
And Ross, did you know they have a new thing called Squarespace Blueprint?
Tell me more about the Squarespace Blueprint.
It is a new guided system for designing your website. So it's...
Does it have like professionally curated layout and styling options?
Yeah, it's just a more functional interface for your design.
That's great.
And you get to build a unique online presence from the ground up. You'll tailor all of your brand and business for every device.
And I know what you're thinking, like, okay, well, I can make the website, but then I got to figure out like the whole payment system. Well, guess what? That's built in. You'll be able to accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries. You can even offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. Oh,
if that's your thing.
Clearpay.
Hey!
Caroline.
You can also upload video content, organize your video library, showcase your content on beautiful video pages, and even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall, if that's your thing.
And it's all there at squarespace.com. So you can go, you can start messing around, just see how you like the tools, because they have confidence in their product. But here's where you're actually going to want to go.
Yes, you want to go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll go to squarespace.com/ohno to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Squarespace. Proven where telepathy isn't necessarily.
And I know what you're thinking.
Because you're a telepath?
Yes, you're thinking, but Carrie, isn't Caroline Corey an alien? Didn't we establish that before? When are you going to talk about it? Well, not now.
You read my thoughts exactly. That's crazy.
Absolutely not now, because there's a Jumbotron!
Jumbotron from, from Spencer to... Dusk.
Great names.
Yes.
And Spencer says, happy birthday to my favorite sibling, and I do have over zero.
Someone's been listening to the show. I'll be overseas when you hear this, so I'm sure I'm missing the heck out of you. Since you re-listen to OnRack episodes so often, I figure you'll stumble on this message a couple times.
Here's a reminder that I love you and I'm proud of you. You're a kind soul.
Your least favorite sister, Spencer. Oh, that's amazing.
That's so great.
Yeah, happy birthday,
happy
Dusk.
Happy birthday, Dusk.
Hope it's a great one.
But you may not listen to this on any day except your birthday.
Yeah.
Let's just ruin this for one person.
I'm trying to think like what penalties
after,
we can...
Okay, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to flip it. Your birthday present is you can listen to this every day except your birthday from here out.
Oh, from here out. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
We will not be monitoring this. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks to everyone who contributed during this year's Max Fun Drive. We truly couldn't do what we do without you. With the drive in the rear view, it's time for another proud tradition, our annual charity pin sale. This year, the proceeds for the pin sale will support Vote Riders, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding ballot access nationwide. Members at $10 a month or more can purchase Max Fun Drive pins featuring shows from across the network, and all members are able to buy our network pin design, exclusive to this charity sale. The sale is live now, and it ends Friday, April 12th. For more info, head to MaximumFun.org/pinsale. And thanks again for your support.
Okay, so you were saying...
I know what you're thinking, Ross.
Again?
You're probably thinking, But isn't Caroline Corey an alien? When is the other shoe going to drop?
Yeah, okay, so does she talk about this?
Yes.
She does so many things. She produces films. She starts meditation methods. And yeah, when did she discover she was an alien?
Is she going to withhold this from us the entire talk? No, she said it at minute 3, but I withheld it from you.
Oh, okay.
So when she was 5, Caroline had an alien experience.
So for me, when I was 5 years old, this was me at the age of 5, and I was just there, and I was in my parents' living room, and all of a sudden, I felt the presence of these beings. It was more like light, it was just like the room was filled with light, but it felt like a group of beings, not just one. And as soon as that happened, I was kind of like, I felt like I was in that energy. I was completely merged in that energy, and it felt like me and them were kind of the same thing. And that's the reason why I could feel that there was more than one being. And what happened was I noticed that we were exchanging information. Something was going back and forth. And this information came in the form of geometry. Everything was geometric. I saw myself as a geometric pattern, them as a geometric pattern. But I also saw that the information between that was going back and forth was like coded information. It was like all little codes. So it would be like this one teeny little thing, and then it would kind of transfer from them to me. And then as it was like a zip drop, and it was like, as it would zip from them to me, it would unzip in my human mind, and it would translate into human language. So it wasn't that they spoke English or French or what have you. They spoke in these codes, geometric codes, but my human brain would then translate it into an entire sentence or what have you. And so basically what they said, that, you know, this is who we are, this is who you are, we have been connected, you will continue to stay connected for the rest of your life. And they said, look at what your brain is doing right now. And so, you know, I'm 5 years old, right? I don't know, so I'm just focusing very intently on what my brain was doing. They said, because if you want to communicate with us again, you have to do exactly that. And so I wasn't sure what that was, but all I know is that they were basically teaching me intention. They were teaching me to focus on something and ask for it, as opposed to it just happening spontaneously. Does that make sense? And so I said, this is what I want. I want this for the rest of my life. And more importantly, it felt like we were one and the same. It's almost like I was on this side of the veil in human form, and they were on this side, the other side of the veil, as kind of like my own stream of consciousness. It was super cool.
That's quite a long message for a 5-year-old.
True. Yeah. So she was laying in her bed and her room filled with light. And then she had the sense of beings. Doesn't sound like she saw beings, but she had the sense of their presence.
And then identified as being one of them herself.
So she doesn't say that here.
Okay.
That I caught anyway. But later she says that she's known since she was 3 that she was an alien. So she has at least layered on that analysis since.
I get a sense of a European accent from her.
Oh, yeah, she has an accent. Yeah, I'm not sure where she's from.
Okay.
Obviously another planet.
Touche. While I was listening to that, I was trying to see if I could find anything with her talking about where she was raised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Pluto. Northern Europe.
Why'd I pick Pluto? Now I have to get 3 emails about whether Pluto's planetary. Okay. Yeah. So she did have some kind of experience. Awfully early to remember so much, but maybe.
Immediately, I think, where along the timeline did she start talking about it this way? Because I'm feeling if we talked to her at 9, that's probably not the same narrative we would have gotten, if any.
Did you ever read any of those I Went to Heaven and I'm a Little Boy books?
Yeah, I read one of them and they had such similar titles that I'm now not confident.
Like, Heaven's my buddy. Heaven is real.
The boy that went to heaven.
Yeah. I died and came back and now my daddy made me write this book.
Which is the true title of all of them.
Yeah. One of them, I forget the kid's name. He has a crazy name. I want to say Dalton Trumbo, but that's the guy from the Red Scare. No, but there was one little boy, Peter Bobo, or like Kevin Buttshit. It's like a crazy name.
Oh, this is the one I read. Heaven is for real. Burpo, you're thinking
Colton Burpo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colton Burpo. Insane name. Anyway, he supposedly went to heaven, came back, but I read his book and it's totally just the dad
silly pushing this
interpretation on him. Anyway, if you do start talking to aliens, Ross, don't get the impression that they're all good, because Caroline lets us know that there are some that are benevolent, but there are also some that are just entities floating around trying to mess with you.
Fair. Yeah. Of the 9 tall white species, only 3 are known to cooperate with humans, I learned from Linda Moulton Howe.
Exactly. We need a flow chart just to make this all make sense and then we can die.
So complicated, because every time like Whitley comes along, he's like, oh, there's little blue guys now. Where do I put them on my chart?
Do you think we'll have to have our graves next to each other just so we can have like a big enough flow chart just explaining everything as we finally understood it?
Oh.
just like with general semantics on one end and then all the way over to Scientology or whatever on the other end. And we're like, well, we did it.
This sounds like a good stretch goal for our final Max Fun Drive. Help us design these tombstones. The world must know.
Okay. So when the aliens did come to her, they taught her to focus on her intention, because you can just call these experiences in once you know how to do them, she says.
Of all the things to communicate, you're an alien species from trillions of miles away, and you're like, let me teach you about intentions. I'm just trying to picture myself like
writing on
the back of my planet's resources. I get... shunted halfway across the Milky Way. I don't know, however far I'm going. And then I find this other planet. I'm like, I need to teach them about intentions, focusing on their intentions.
I'm going to tell them about to-do lists.
This is a good use of resource. But okay.
Yeah, let's try to picture us doing that. Like all this effort we've done into like getting to Mars.
Uh-huh.
We get there and we're like, we brought our planners. Here it is.
We almost burned up in the atmosphere. I'm so glad we made it. But
we figured out calendars. Do you want one? You got a plan. But you got to have intention. You got to have a goal.
Now that we're here, you need to learn to live with each other. Don't
like
fight.
We did.
Don't fight. Be peaceful. Okay.
Yeah, probably right. Didn't go that way.
Okay.
Okay. So then she also defined the term download,
which we've heard at least as of the Ozark Mountain UFO conference. I remember download was a big theme
okay.
there.
Okay. So that's this idea that you just suddenly have certainty, or you suddenly have information, and mm-hmm. you don't feel like you cobbled it together.
You're not the owner of the information. That couldn't have come from me.
Right, because I didn't author it somehow.
Yeah, which seems to be a real phenomenon.
I think I've told you that time I looked in our backyard and I just thought, Drew's going to build a toy train back here.
Yeah, and you felt so sure, and it didn't feel like you were the author of that thought.
It just appeared
unbidden in your consciousness.
Out of nowhere. And then I told you, I've recently been like, I think I might just
maybe
be into
I
trains.
Just want a train.
Maybe I like trains and Drew's a boy. So I was like, Drew will like the trains. Anyway. Okay, then synchronicity. That's when two events appear to be related without obvious cause. And I thought, yes, okay. Exactly. Okay. That's right. But no, she's saying...
That's a fair definition.
It is in isolation. But then she's like, you know, it appears to
but
be related
there are no,
without obvious cause.
There are no coincidences.
There are no appearings.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. Then she defines telepathy again. That's interpreting information and energy through the senses without vision.
Three definitions of telepathy already?
Yep.
Okay.
Don't worry, I wrote all of them down.
All right.
But this time, you just don't need to have vision. So deaf people, great news, you're telepaths. Oh, no, wait. No.
No.
Blind people, you're telepaths.
There we go.
Congrats. And then she said, and I bet a lot of you have experienced this kind of thing because I tend to attract audiences who experience these kinds of things. Yeah.
Yes. And I would say that's more than a mere synchronicity.
Yeah. And I'm not sure I want you to be the person collecting those experiences on your own.
But yes, we are here at the Contact in the Desert. Yes, you do tend to draw these audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And then she said, oh my goodness, she told this story. She's like, have you ever had this happen? One time, I was at work and I had this new boss and I could tell he didn't like me and he was giving me too much work and I was really struggling. And then as I was leaving his office, I heard him say, I'm going to do this until you quit.
Whoa.
And she turns around and his mouth is full of coffee.
He's a ventriloquist.
Because she had actually heard his thoughts.
Oh.
Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're like, hey. Caroline, can you take care of this paperwork? And then she turns around and she's like, I heard that in your coffee mouth.
I'm sorry, what did you hear?
So anyway, it was a wild story. And then she's like, has anyone had this? And I don't think anyone raised their hand. Because I was like, had what? Had the experience where my boss said something with coffee in his mouth?
No, I would imagine we're generally overhearing somebody's thoughts as
not familiar to me.
As an auditory phenomena.
Yeah.
Which, I feel like there are many conscious states where we know people can hear auditory phenomena without actually having a real world equivalent.
Yeah, yeah. Without the speaker having produced anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the your name in the wind phenomenon or your name in rushing water?
Oh, no, I haven't. Oh,
okay.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Mostly I have it in water. If I like turn on the bathtub.
Okay.
Sometimes, especially I'll hear my mom going like, Carrie.
Wow. Carrie.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just water.
Well, I'm glad you realized that.
Yes, I do.
Well, and knowing these
things. Thanks for keeping track.
Knowing these things in advance is helpful too. Hearing about sleep paralysis before you experience it is much better than hearing about it after you've experienced it.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
So, you've all been warned. Jonathan.
Okay. Then she said, there are also those voices that interrupt your thoughts, you know? And I thought, nope. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
But that's a specific experience some people have. But
I feel like we might have another situation, kind of like with Whitley Strieber, where we suspect there are some mental conditions that are contributing to real phenomena that are being interpreted through a very specific filter.
Yes, I think you're going to feel that way even more.
Okay.
So next, she talked about how she often wakes up feeling depressed and as if she is inside a washing machine. So just so keyed up and depressed at the same time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Caroline.
And then later she talked about being able to see geometric shapes around her. It actually reminded me of Teal Swan.
With her vibration,
frequency paintings.
Yeah, frequency paintings.
Horse. So, yeah, and this also reminded me of in my class that I'm taking right now on psychosis, there was a writer with schizophrenia who also sees fractals just sort of randomly in their fields of vision.
Okay, yeah.
And then she also talked about, I've experienced this phenomenon where you're kind of not sure about what to do or how to interpret something, and then you go to sleep and you wake up like, oh, that's totally clear now because your brain has like organized the information for you.
Yes,
absolutely. So she talks about that.
Okay.
I've certainly had that.
All of this sounds very human.
Yes.
Maybe outside the normal range of experience, but still heard of and human. So yeah, still waiting for this alien shoe to drop.
A few things I wrote down in my code red section of my notebook.
Okay.
So she said she can use remote sensing to determine if a boyfriend is cheating.
Oh no.
This sounds like a bad
this
service
be
to offer.
Great for relationships.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It reminds me of someone I knew back when I was working in animal rights. I knew someone who claimed she could talk to dogs and cats, and she told me that she interviewed this cat who explained to the guardian that the family dog had been murdered by the husband.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
And yeah, and so
it's all fun and games until you accuse someone of murder.
Yeah. And then she's like, but, you know, it really gave her peace. And I'm like, how?
Oh, no.
How did it give her peace? By kicking out her husband? That's all I can think of. I'm not keeping a husband who strangles my dog.
Or did she say, thank you, that gives me peace, just to make her stop talking about it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I might
do that.
And then
I'm the only person still worked up as I hear the story.
What is a nice way to make this stop? Okay, I just found on her LinkedIn page, she mentions that she speaks both English and French with native or bilingual proficiency.
Great.
Oh, and Japanese as well.
Oh, wow.
Maybe she's from France or Belgium or
Canada.
Then
she also said that people can pass off their beliefs to you, and then those become energy that live inside of your body and may affect your health outcomes. For example, if your parent has heart disease and they communicate to you that your heart disease risk is high, and you start to think that, then you might start having symptoms of heart disease.
Couldn't be genes.
But it's not really heart disease, Ross. You just need to get clear.
Yeah, okay, clear. Yeah, I'm getting the key word there. This also sounds Christian Science-like as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's all just in your mind. You're not actually catching a disease. You're catching this mind corruption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you just need to be, well, as she seems to be all about, mind over matter.
Kimberly Meredith is also into this.
It makes me so uncomfortable, though, because it's so victim-blamey. You know, when things happen, it's like, oh, you're just not thinking right.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of acknowledging we're made out of molecules and they do things that we don't have control over.
And waste all your time and money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Then she said that 99.9% of diseases are attached to someone else's belief. And she can treat that by having you do a special envisioning exercise. You can do her exercise every day to treat your chronic illness.
Oh, man. And probably part of her Omnium universe. Yeah.
And finally, on my code red section, she said that mental illness is not real.
Oh, no. Because that was kind of what I was suspecting for a lot of the things she was describing.
Well, wrong.
Okay.
The last thing I want to tell you about Ross, though, is that she described what I think was a paranormal test, but I couldn't quite follow the story she was telling. And I thought, you know what? Ross has seen a lot of paranormal tests. Maybe if I play him this audio, he'll have some idea what she's describing.
Okay.
So we did experiments on camera, trying to move a physical object. Actually, we did a bunch of experiments. And it was very interesting because as I was connecting, for example, the DNA sample, which is an organic substance, right? My energy was being transferred right to the DNA, and it was like instantaneous. It was it was even before I set my intention. It's almost like the DNA already knew what I wanted it to do. It was insane. The scientists were like, as soon as I would look at it, it was just like 400%, it would like increase, it would change. To change the chemistry of the water, it took a little longer. But then when we tried the telekinesis exercise. So basically we were trying to move a piece of paper, it was a spiral at the time. And I remember very well. So I, just like the normal thing I would do, I would project my energy and, you know, ask it to rotate or something like that. And the first time I felt that it talked back at me. It said, I don't want to rotate. I was like, excuse me, where did this come from? You know? And then it was such a huge lesson, you know, because I'm extremely sensitive, obviously. I can feel those energies very clearly. And so it was like, what just happened here? You know, because the organic substances would just respond. And this thing was like telling me, well, maybe I don't want to rotate in this direction. I want to rotate the other direction. It was like, so we're having like this argument. I'm like, I want you to rotate in this direction. So anyway, it was a huge learning experience. But what that taught me is that that piece of paper, which is human made, right? Like the piece of furniture had absorbed information, energy, and this energy was retained even though this was not a live person. Does that make sense? So I was picking up the information that was stored in this piece of paper. Think about that. If you can do that from a piece of paper, a piece of furniture, don't you think you can pick up information from a live person who lives with you 24/7? Hello? Right? So that's my point.
So that's her point.
Oh, no.
So that's her point. Did you follow that?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Okay, I have a guess.
Okay.
Wow, first time through you followed that. Okay. Yeah. So I think she was trying to prove some sort of paranormal ability. Mm-hmm. The test was not working for her. Mm-hmm. She had a little workaround that was like, actually, if you think about it, it's not working because it's working.
No, that's exactly okay. What she's saying. Yep.
Okay. And what test is she talking about?
Okay, well, she was jumping uncontrollably between multiple tests. Some that involved DNA manipulation, and then one that involved moving a physical object, which is where she started.
Okay.
And then there was some other bit about changing the chemical structure of water.
Yeah, so either DNA went into something.
Either this is the sloppiest free-for-all test that just has things all over the table, or she's conflating a few different stories into one. But it seems like the main one is that there was something, I'm guessing it's kind of like a pinwheel, like a piece of paper either suspended on a string or on a stick
or something.
Yeah, something that she said it's a spiral. So I'm guessing it's something that could be turned around. If we were testing somebody with a paper like that for the CFIIG testing, we would put it inside of a bell jar so they couldn't like be blowing on it. Mm. But even then, usually these are things that are very sensitive to just slight movements of air, water, currents. Uh-huh. So oftentimes it'll be like a floating toothpick or a paperclip suspended on the surface of water, something that is very impressionable. And they'll feel like they've proven their abilities before by manipulating this.
But it's actually like their breath and they don't realize it or something like
right.
that.
Right, or just the room moving things and then them telling themselves narratives after the fact that, actually it did what I wanted it to. And it's so funny because you told me to turn it to the right, but right as it turned left, I thought left, you know, or something like that.
Okay.
And that's precisely what she's doing in this clip, which is saying, oh, and you know, I was trying to make it turn, but it wanted to go the other way. And then I realized, oh, there's somebody else's intention in the piece of paper because it's a man-made object. And so just like me receiving the personage of my father telepathically, this piece of paper is also holding on to somebody's energy.
Yes.
And oh, I'm tapping into their girl. Personality. And that's what she was doing. She was making excuses. That's what we call that in the
special
biz.
Special pleading.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, okay. I thought it was basically that. But I'm glad you could decipher that.
Oof.
Sort of.
Yeah. And I'd love to talk to these. I'd love to talk to these scientists that she worked with.
Yeah, so she said it was on camera. So I think we should go find that sometime.
Okay.
And take a look. Maybe let our listeners know what's in there.
Yeah, maybe reach out to her and ask her if she can point us to this
recording. Oh, yeah, good idea. I'll email her.
Thank you.
I'll do that. And that was it. Oh, well, actually, that's not true. Then she led everyone into meditation, but I really had to pee, so I left.
Oh, yeah. I see that with her Omnium method, or Omnium method, I'm hoping she pronounces it. It's a revolutionary healing technique that allows the spontaneous alignment of the physical cells in the human energy field with the universal source frequency and provides an instant and permanent cellular reprogramming.
Mm-hmm.
But then that leads down to her connecting to source meditation. So maybe it was one of those. So did she actually not say that she was an alien in the course of this talk?
I don't think she did, though. Like I say, I left right as the meditation began. So possible that in the middle of that, she's like, I'm an alien.
Well, clearly she contains multitudes. I would love to kind of latch on to the timeline of her claims, because I'm going to guess, I'm going to venture that the I'm an alien claim came later than the other claims and relatively recently, because I feel like it's becoming a trend. There's a lot more people who are like, actually, not only do I talk to the aliens, I am an alien.
One, and I always knew that, actually, if you think about it. Yeah, I think that's right. And yeah, even if it were when she was 9, I'd believe it more than when she was 5, just because by then you've encountered alien media.
It feels like just another personage that we've encountered who blends so many of these ideas together in her own unique package.
Yeah.
And you get...
And boy, is it a beautiful package. Do you know what I'm saying, and Jimmy? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, pretty lady. and it comes with all of these features like A, aliens, but also B, multiple species of aliens, and C, aliens that are both good and bad, but also D, telepathy and inner thought communication, and just like all of these little features that you line up, kind of like, I don't know, you're going to buy a car or something, and you're like, does it have air conditioning? Like, yes, we do have reincarnation or whatever it is.
Oh, yes, you're saying all of these different speakers that we go to, they all have their various menu item takes on the different stuff. Yeah, that's true. I feel like we could make, I wish I had been doing it this whole time, but I feel like we'd make the most glorious spreadsheet of every speaker, and just like, well, what do they say about God? What do they say about the afterlife? Do animals go to heaven, etc.?
Yeah, and in certain aspects of her speech, she also feels very Twin Ray to me, where she's willing to say things like, reading off of her website about her method, that one sentence had spontaneous alignment, physical cells, human energy field, universal source frequency, instant and permanent cellular reprogramming, all in one sentence. That's just so many ideas.
Permanent.
Yeah.
Like, can she even believe? I guess she must believe that, but it's just like, How did you determine that?
And we run into so many people who have these heartfelt stories about reprogramming DNA.
Yeah.
And like, she was in that clip talking about like seeing it grow 400% or something. What are you even
the
looking
DNA
at?
DNA is going from her body to the paper.
Is this DNA that's been extracted and you're looking at it through a microscope? Is it part of a living organism?
Is it your sweat? Is it your skin because you touched the paper? Because if so, that's not that interesting.
What do you think you are perceiving?
Yeah.
I would like to know.
And if your telepathy is that weak, that the tiniest whiff of you being near something makes it unusable, I'm not that impressed. I already have language and stuff that's very good at communicating.
Oh, I see that her guided meditation technique, connecting to source, has a copyright. Connecting to Source. Mm. Copyright. That entrains,
I guess she's the source.
That entrains your body with the universal source frequency organically. Yeah. I mean, when I hear, I'm still looking at this website with the Omnium method. The short and effective meditation is then followed by cellular reprogramming, which is accomplished through a combination of intent, light, sound and divine geometry, grid and universal calibration, 0 point, gravity pull, time suspension, among other means. Mm-hmm. When I hear mm-hmm. people put mm-hmm. together sentences like this, I feel like the only way that I could do that is if I was intentionally trying to bamboozle people, blind people with science-sounding terms. Mm. And I have a really hard time putting my mind in the headspace of someone who feels this legitimately, like thinks that they're telling the truth and this is the best way to describe it.
Interesting. I can buy it.
Okay.
I can. But I mean, only on an intuitive level, I couldn't defend it.
Maybe it is just like a sense of these words do a good job of approximating the feeling that I have when I talk about these phenomena.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right.
I'm trying to put myself in a charitable state of mind where I can see her honestly putting this together and saying, okay, here's what we're doing with this meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. But I'm sure there are lots of people who are not going about it that way.
It's enough to get you a speaker position at a UFO conference.
Yeah, and contact in the desert. Jimmy Church.
No kidding.
Well, that is it for Caroline Corey. I hope we run into her again. I really wasn't aware of her until this talk.
And she was at the Conscious Life Expo. And I'm pretty sure at the previous contact in the desert, I'd have to look through my records, I think she was presenting a film then.
Okay.
One of her movies.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I think that might be the first time I saw her. But yeah, part of the community.
Part of the community.
Someone we're going to be encountering, I'm sure, again and again.
And Caroline, if you hear this, come on the show. We'd love to meet you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it, I think, for this episode of Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Our theme music is by Brian Keith Dalton.
Our administrative manager is Ian Kramer.
You can support this and all our investigations by going to MaximumFun.org/join. It's a weird time to pick, but it's also a perfect time to pick because Max Fun Drive just ended and it's a year away. So why not support us now and then email us and tell us you did and then we'll say, wow, good job.
Yeah, do that. We'll thank you because we are truly thankful for all of your support. And if you joined or upgraded at the $10 level, the pin sale is going on. And you probably heard an ad for that a little earlier in this episode. So buy those pins. They're awesome.
Buy them pins. And the pin sale this year, the money goes to vote writers who are protecting the right to vote.
Huzzah.
Yeah, I love it.
So get some cool looking pins and help rock the vote.
That's right. And remember,
you are witnessing children reading and playing. Completely blindfolded.
The other dragons were purple with smooth, shiny scales.
It might seem like a magic trick, and when I first saw it, I thought the same thing. This can't be true. But what if I told you that you too can train yourself to see without your physical eyes?
Dumbo, that's fair.
Anyone can do this. And if we can train our brains to see with the blindfold on, then we can also cultivate this higher power to make our brain do just about anything. So how do we do it? There are a few different methodologies that all achieve the same result because they're based on the same principle. If you believe it, you can achieve it.
From the twisted minds that brought you The Adventure Zone, Balance, and Amnesty, and Graduation, and Ethersea, and Steeplechase, and Ultra Space, and all the other ones, the McElroy brothers and dad are proud to reveal a bold vision for the future of actual play podcasting. It's called The Adventure Zone versus Dracula.
Yeah, we're going to kill Dracula's ass.
We haven't recorded all of it yet. We will attempt to kill Dracula's ass.
The Avengers M versus Dracula.
Yes, a season I will be running using the D&D 5th edition rule set. And there's two episodes out for you to listen to right now. We hope you will join us. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I see what you did there.
Maximum Fun. A worker-owned network.
Of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.